Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and also sitting here at the table from the beginning, it's Shatara Sherwood. Shatara, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are well. We are well. It's been a busy day. Matter of fact, it's been not just a busy day, but it's been a busy last couple of weeks. So I'm glad to be back at the table again. And Adia is finished what she had with her commitment. With the military, so she will not be with us tonight. She did say she will be back with us on next Thursday. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm probably just going to say, all right, Adia, you leading the show, because you know that's how I do sometimes. Tonight, we're still dealing in this whole topic of financial healing. And this is episode 3, so for those who have not listen to the first two episodes, I encourage you, go back and listen to the other two episodes. They're important. They help build the foundation for what we're going to be talking about tonight. And so, again, tonight's episode is financial healing, as it's been the whole month, but get moving towards it. That's what we're talking about. We want people to move towards their healing. We don't want people to sit there and just expect God is just going to bring it to them. I was preaching several weeks ago at a church, and I was talking about healing, and somehow this illustration came up, and I said, listen, y'all, it's like this. You know, like on Christmas morning, and I said, some of y'all think back. Some had to think back farther than others because they were a little older. But think about this, Shatara. Think about Christmas morning where, you know, we actually had Christmas trees, right? You had a Christmas tree, and there was presents that you expected to be under the tree. And so since you had the expectation that those presents was going to be under the tree, you went to bed and you said, okay, when I wake up in the morning, you know, you woke up in the morning and you knew what you were going to do. And here's what I said for the pulpit once from one time. I said, now look at that. I said, young man, I was not young man. I said, listen, if you wake up on Christmas morning and you have an expectation that there's presents up under the tree, when you go to that tree, you may not get everything that you wanted.
Right.
But you know and believe that mom and dad or whoever is going to have something for you. At least that's the way it was in my house. I know I wasn't going to get hardly anything that I wanted growing up. That's just not how we live. But I did know that there was going to be something up under there. So therefore, that meant that I had something that I was going to get and be grateful for because it was there. And I said, now take this for example. Let's say you wake up on Christmas morning. And when you wake up on Christmas morning, you know that there should be presents up under the tree. And so now that you know that there's supposed to be presents up under the tree, I said, can you imagine if you're a parent and imagine Tally calling me on Christmas morning. Daddy. And then I go to Tally's room, and Tally says, Daddy. And I say, what, baby? What is it? Can you go get my presents for me? What? Go get your presents for you, or you know that the presents are under the tree because you do this every year with Christmas, right? We put a tree up. We put presents. You see the presents beforehand. So you know that there's something up under there for you. You know we're not going to just exclude you from the gift-giving process, knowing that we have other children in the household. What father would do that? That's crazy. So we're not going to do that, right? We're not going to be mean as a parent. But if you sit there, call me, tell me, and you want me to go and get the present for you, Then I'm going to say, you know what? You stay your butt in bed. And the reality is, you don't have to worry about getting up and get the present. And here's the thing. By the time she decides to get up, she may call me an hour later. Daddy, can you go get the present for me? And then she may start getting a little attitude, like, I wish he'd just go get the present for me. By the time she come about that room 3 hours later, I promise you, I have Tootie sitting there playing with her present. No, you missed out. You missed out because it's for you, and you didn't get up, and you didn't go moving towards it. So this is, and I'm going to tell you, when I was preaching, I said, what's the expectation? What should you expect to happen? And this young man, he had been about 12 years old. He said, get up and go. I said, what do you expect to do? He said, get up and go get your present. And I said, how many times
That's
I got to keep preaching, y'all? I said, every time I come here to preach, there's a child that reiterates or confirms or something about what I'm giving to y'all. And it was the same young man in a different setting before that. And so all I'm saying is, when God has the healing for us, when he wants to heal, has this desire to heal us financially, it's up to us to go and get it. If we don't go, if we act like this little boy, right, if we act like my daughter, which you know, she doesn't act like that, she know better, but if we act like that child in my illustration, just calling on mommy or calling on daddy to say, bring this healing to me, bring my present to me, I'm going to say, girl, you done lost your mind. No, I'm not doing that. You feel me? It doesn't make sense. And so I want people to have an understanding of who God is. God desires to heal people financially. He doesn't desire to watch so many of his people go through what they're going through financially over and over and over, Shatara. Doesn't want that. But if you decide to lay your tail in bed, calling on him. I'm not talking about folk that can't get up. I'm talking about you're able-bodied. You're going to work every day, but yet all you're doing is saying, Lord, I need you to fix my finances. No, baby, I'm sorry. I don't even hate being the bearer of bad news. It's just not going to happen. You'll continue to work paycheck to paycheck. You'll continue not to have a savings. You'll continue to have bad credit because you got to do something. You have to do something. And I have to keep saying it like this. I have to keep pressing the envelope so that people understand. And I said this earlier on the radio or on the other show. You and I, we can no longer just continue to sit and act like people are not struggling financially.
Right.
We can't act like people are not going through stuff with their finances or their possessions or their resources. No, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Jokers don't sell drugs unless there was money involved. Nobody sells drugs for a hobby. Let's be real and minister to folk. Cats do not sell drugs where I come from for a hobby. They sell drugs so they can get paper. And they want paper so they can get stuff, possessions. So they're using these illegal actions for finances so they can take those finances and get possessions. And then with those possessions, those possessions put them in this position of superiority or power, and you know, illegitimate power, but it's still power. And now they're becoming resources for other folks. So now they're employing folks. They're employing young people to continue to do the same thing. So now you have that perpetual cycle. It's not about just selling drugs in the hood. We could talk about Wall Street. We could talk about any area. You know, Wall Street, y'all not immune either. And so we have to just keep on saying what we're saying so that people get an understanding and can really deal with this thing in a spiritual and a practical way. Because just saying out your mouth, Jesus is going to fix it, is not going to get it.
That's right. That's right. You know what that brings to mind is I don't even remember where I saw it or who I heard it from, but somebody said, the only way to bring about change is to change. Right? You can't have change without change. So that means whatever you've been doing, again, this goes also feeds into the insanity definition, which is, you know, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. But the only way to get that different result is to change the way you're doing it. And if you've been saying, Lord Jesus, fix it, Lord, I'm going to throw a scripture out there. Faith without works is dead.
That's right.
But yeah, you can believe God can do it, and He will. He can do it. He can do it. And we all have certain promises that God has given us, but we have a part in it too. Recognize that you want something different. There's a problem. You need something different. Next thing, believe that God will help you through it. And now you have to act. So yes, we have to. You have to do that thing. You can't just say, "Lord, fix it," like you said, and then sit there and say, "Okay, bring it to me, Lord." What are we willing to do to get the change?
And what makes this conversation that we're having, right, so interesting, so relevant, so valid, is the fact that out of one passage of Scripture, there is so much that God is trying to communicate to His people. Out of one passage of Scripture, we continue to see what this one person has done to walk towards their healing. And, of course, for those who weren't with us before, we're talking from 2 Kings chapter 5. We're talking about the story of Naaman. Naaman was that commander in the kingdom of Aram, that king, and a little girl who was taken captive from Israel and brought to that wicked kingdom of Aram. She saw Naaman who had leprosy, and we talked about how leprosy is that disease, and you being in the medical field, you can break it down and make it sound as nasty as you want to, Shatara. I just know what I read. I've never seen anybody with leprosy. I've never seen anybody with anything close to it. But from the pictures that I've seen on the internet, it is a deadly, nasty disease. And that's the way some people's finances are. Some people's finances, I'm just here to tell you, is deadly. They're nasty. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is, it doesn't mean it all is lost. All that means is, and I said this earlier, you're in a position for God to do something. That's it. It's not going to be where we're going to be in this world where we're not going to have any type of challenges financially. It's not going to be.
Right.
Let me just tell you something. Rich people have challenges financially, right? Because sometimes people who are rich are investing in things that people who are not rich are investing in, and so therefore even investing at all. And so there may be additional risk that is being taken for people who have a lot of money. If you make $100,000 a year, you're living a different lifestyle 9 out of 10 times than somebody that's living at $20,000 per year or below the poverty line. You know, you got rich folk that don't have wills. Prince, so many people was talking about Prince a little while ago, right? And here was my remember about this. And you know we're going to get back to talking about will you or will you not eventually, I'm sure. But here's what I didn't put it online, but here's what I wanted to say, so I'm going to say it out loud right now. Nobody without a will should even open their mouth about Prince not having a will. Because the reality is, who does not have a will, who does not have their affairs in order, right, who passes away, people are going to be talking about you just like we were talking about Prince. Man, he didn't have a will. But the reality
I'm about to be done.
There's a lot at stake with Prince, right, because of the vault and all of the music. And here's what I say. That don't make anything more special than that 1985 Honda Accord that, you know, the person next door to me is driving. That's not any more special than the vault of music that Prince has. Because if God gave Prince that music and he gave my next-door neighbor that 1985 Honda Accord, the reality is I gave it to him. So there's an expectation of stewardship. And we talk and we teach about wills being a continuation an act of stewardship continued. You know, that's one of the big things with what we're teaching in that lesson. So you can't say nothing about Prince, nothing at all.
Right.
Let's not even talk about him. Let's talk about the people. Let's talk about the 50% of the people or more in my church that probably don't have wills. Let's talk about all the people in my church who probably don't have life insurance. And then let's talk about all of us who have it going on, who don't have a problem with finances, with money. And let's talk about how well we're doing, but then our brother sitting next to us is without. Something's not right with the picture. But it's only going to get better if people are open, if people are honest, are willing to say, hey, this is what I got going on with me. And then the only way that's going to happen is if a safe environment is created. The thing I love about this show, the thing I love about the other show, Living Life More Abundantly, that we have Thursday afternoon from 4 to 5 on 92.1 FM, the thing I love about that is you can call into this show, and we don't have to know who you are. So you can talk about how raggedy your stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're going to do is try to help you. We're going to try to push you. I'm talking about right now where we're at. We're going to possibly try to push you to get moving towards your financial healing, because it's only going to happen if you're willing to take some necessary steps. That's it.
That's it. That's it. Absolutely. I just wanted to say that, you know, part of, you know, speaking on Prince and him not having a will, it just goes to show, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you still need to prepare. You need to be prepared. And this is part of stewardship, is preparation. And because no man knows when they're going to be called home.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, everybody has a finite amount of time on this earth. And we don't know what that amount of time is. So part of your stewardship is to be prepared. So the having your will helps you to expect the unexpected, so to speak. You know, you don't know, but you're going to make sure you leave those behind you in the best position as possible. Rich, poor, you know, middle class, however you want to say it, everybody needs to have a will. Because right now there are all kinds of people coming forward for DNA testing all of a sudden for Prince. So if you do that, if you're being a good steward over the things that God has given you, everything will be laid out. There will not be confusion. So besides the fact of having the clear picture, you know, oftentimes there are disagreement between those that are left behind because there is no will. So just throwing that in there, that's not exactly what we're talking about, but it's part of stewardship. So we do need to be cognizant of the fact that even whether it's a 1985 Honda Accord or if it's your newest pair of Jordan, whatever it is you have, be a good steward over it and make sure you have a will.
That's good. That's good. You know, here's what we're doing. For those of you who, again, who may be new to the PRF table or have not listened to all the lessons, we have to be just really real and transparent in this particular age. God's people are hurting. And when you're hurting, you want somebody to help you. And even if you're not interested and you're listening, that's good. Because those folks still want people to help them. You know, the only difference between those in the church and those out of the church, well, sometimes I have a hard time distinguishing between the two, but sometimes the folks outside the church are willing to take risk and to move towards certain things. They may not be the right thing, but I know so many people that are moving towards, it may not look at it like I'm moving towards my financial healing, and they may not have God all involved in it, but they say, you know what, I can't live like this no more. So if I have to file bankruptcy so that I can get a fresh start because I've exhausted all of my options, right, they're willing to do that. I'm not hating for bankruptcy, but doggone, I look at my folks in the church. I look at the body of Christ, and I say, what in the world is going on? What else is it going to take?
Right.
We are the ones that the people outside of the body are supposed to be looking at and saying, you know what, they may not be – the richest people in the world, but they got peace, joy, happiness. They see that. They believe that. Then what happens is, because, you know, you walk around on Monday morning, you know, because, you know, message was good on Sunday, and how you doing, Brother Dunlap? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And then, you know, on Tuesday, you know, I'm a child of the King. You know, you throw all those sayings out, but then when somebody say, what's your credit score? Man, that ain't none of your business. Now, I see something wrong with that picture.
Amen.
Something wrong with that picture, because that means there's something going on the inside, right? And so to bring the conversation to back to 2 Kings, one of the mm-hmm. things that was going on was God was waiting for Naaman to receive his healing. But Naaman had to take steps along the way. He had to walk it out. And what we're saying these steps are, these are just steps of faith. There was a step of faith for right. him to even receive what the little girl said to his wife. And she didn't say it to Naaman. She said it to his wife. I wish my master would go and see the prophet in Israel. Right? He mm-hmm. would heal him.
Mm-hmm.
Then it took faith to go to the king because, you know, back during that time, you didn't go half cock going to the king with any old craziness. So he went to the king and said, hey, I'm trying to go to the enemy, which really they were the enemy, but I'm trying to go to the enemy and get this healed. And he gave him his blessing. And then it took something for him to pack up some items and take along with him for the journey. So I think we talked about that last week. You have to be willing mm-hmm. to pack up the right thing for the journey. I don't know why he took 150 pounds of silver or 750 pounds of silver. I don't know why he took mm-hmm. 150 pounds of gold. I don't know why he took 10 sets of clothing. Well, I know because of the end of the story, but when you read that part and you think about the people who are around him, we don't know what their mindset was. Only thing I can get from that is it was a journey. And so he needed the right resources with him, right? Clothing was mm-hmm. a resource. Mm-hmm. Finances was the right. silver and the gold. And the fact that he had others around him made all the difference in the world. I love the fact that he had other people around him. And when we go back to verse 9, when Naaman went to the king and then the king of Israel said, hey, I'm not the one that can do this. And then, you know, he got mad and he rent his clothing and tore his clothes. And then Elisha heard about it and said, why is the king so upset? Just send this cat to me. See, that was the right mm-hmm. person. He wasn't the right person. So that's a good plug for those of you who are wanting God to heal you financially, but you've gone to the wrong person. So what I'm going to say is mm-hmm. if you've gone to the wrong person, all is not lost. Look at what Naaman did. Naaman had an option.
Mm-hmm.
When he knew that he wasn't in front of the right person, right? When the bankruptcy didn't work, when the credit counseling didn't work, when going to your mama to borrow money from your mama didn't work, borrow money from mm-hmm. your friend, people on your income taxes that shouldn't be on your income taxes, selling drugs, doing some illegal stuff, insider trading, whatever it is, when that didn't work, he kept going. He's before going to where Elisha is, and then Elisha doesn't even come out to see him. He sends a messenger out. And so here's the point with that. We have to be very careful of who we believe are the right ones to help us.
Amen.
And ones to help us. And then dismiss what God is trying to communicate to us. See, Elisha was the prophet, so God was on him. He was anointed. That was his calling. That was the position that he was in. So he was in his right office. He was in his right space. And then you have the prophet who sends out a messenger to tell Naaman, go to the River Jordan, go dip yourself in the river 7 times, and then after you do that, your skin will be restored, and then you'll be healed of your leprosy. And I said this before. When he said your skin will be restored, that's the outside. So what people see on the outside is only part of it. Where we're trying to get at with PR is we're dealing with the inside. I could care less that on paper your credit score shows 850.
Right.
I could care if on the outside that is what's actually being seen. I care more not just about that, but I also care about what's going on the inside. If God's allowed you to get an 800, 850 credit score, are you helping somebody else with their credit? Evidently, you know something that's working. You know something right. that's right. That's that internal, right? I don't care that your credit score mm-hmm. is 850. If you're greedy, if you have a heart, mm-hmm. a closed heart, to have a closed heart and 850 credit score.
That's right.
So what Naaman got was, look, I need you to just go ahead and do this. Just go do this so that you can get the external healing and the internal. Here's the reality, Shatara. When people are going mm-hmm. through financial challenges, it's easy just to look at the outside. But it takes some special folk to be around you to focus on the inside. And that's what we get, and I'm going to be quiet after this. But that's what we get from the next couple of verses. Because when Elisha didn't come out and wave his hand and just wave his hand over the leprosy and boom, he was healed automatically because that's what he thought in his mind was going to happen. I'm going to see the prophet, and he's just going to heal me automatically. Remember how we talked about you got to be careful about folks trying to give you miracles when God is trying to give you a healing.
Amen.
That's so dangerous. It's so dangerous that so many people are in that position that they're looking for miracles, that are looking for the healing. God healed, Jesus healed the man in John chapter 5. He healed the man in John chapter 9. He did miracles as well, but he did a lot of healings. So why would I not want the healing? There has to be something wrong with my concept of God, my concept of spirituality, my understanding of the Bible. All I'm ever looking for is miracles. And so that's why it's so important that you have to have individuals around us, right? We got to have folk around us. If we have folk around us that will help us to be accountable, if to say, you know what, I was talking to brother earlier today, and I said, look, man, I get long-winded, right? This is somebody I was talking to about some marketing with PRF. I said, look, I get long-winded. So I messed around and had 3 pages. You know, I'm a doctor. I had 3 pages easy on something that just needed to be 1 page. You know, right? And I said, I need somebody. I don't know, right? You need this, right? All right. I said, I need somebody like you that's going to say, look, JR, you don't need to say all that. Cut these sentences down. And because you are the one who has the degrees in marketing, you're the one who has the degrees in business, I'm just going to take what you say because I know in the back of my mind you've been through the training for this. That's not my forte. I do pretty good at it, but I got some bigger fish that I need to be frying as executive director, right? Y'all, you know that. And I got to focus on those things. So I got to move away, and I need other folks. And so, oh, my goodness. Having people around is going to be the ones that's going to help us be accountable. And sometimes I'll say it out loud. Tell us to just shut up. Shut up. Stop crying. Stop whining about it. You made the mistakes, right? You didn't do the right thing with your finances. Guess what? I didn't either. I made mistakes. I've made mistakes of recent. I haven't always done the right thing. I spend more money on going out to eat than I probably should, right? So a lot of folks same doggone boat. But at the end of the day, we need people around us. And that's what we see from Naaman. When Naaman got mad because the man wouldn't come out, right? He wouldn't come out and just make it just go away. He walked away. And then the cats that was around him said, now hold on now. If he would have asked you to do something hard, you would have had no problem doing it.
Right.
But he asked you to do something easy. All he asked you to do was go dip in the river 7 times, and your skin will be restored, and your body will be healed. But you can't do that because of your – and so here's where another PRF moment, right? Because of your pride, you won't come talk to Dr. Dunlap, Deal, Brother Feaster. Because of your shame, you won't come to us because of the guilt that you have. Here's what God is saying. Mm-hmm. There are some people out there, whether it's us or whether it's some other type of financial teaching ministry that's out there. Look, I'm not trying to be greedy. I want everybody who has a heart's desire to be connected to PRF, but I know PRF is not the only thing out there. It ain't a lot of us out there, but I know we're the only one. So what I really believe God is saying, look, the people are out there. You have to go towards those individuals. You can go walk away, but what's going to be – how's your situation going to be? Is your situation – going to stay the same just because you think, oh, I can just walk away? That's where you get a lot of people in trouble, Shatara, believe it or not. A lot of people get in trouble because just ignoring it. The collections do not go away. The time clock does not start 7 years of it being removed off your credit just because you ignore it. Trust me, I'm mad. Whatever, be mad and pay it so that clock can start. So in 7 years come, it can go off of your credit.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes the things that we talk about are so simple, but yet people need help. So, again, as I'm communicating, as Shatara and I and all the rest of us here on the table are communicating to people saying, get moving towards it, what we're really dealing with is we want you to have that momentum. We want you to have all of that inside of you to just go ahead and do it. But if you ain't in that position, if you like that little boy that wants to call on mama to come and daddy to come and bring the present to him, I'm going to say, hold on, don't do that. Don't do that. Call on me first.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you call mama, then mama and daddy may get a little mad or upset with you and think that you're being lazy. But see, I'm willing
right.
to take the perspective of you laying in the bed, Shatara and everybody else here in this ministry. We're willing to take the perspective of looking at you in the bed saying, well, there's a reason why you're in the bed. There's a reason why
right.
you say, I'm not going to get out the bed to go towards the tree to get my present. Same thing with your healing. There's a reason why I'm not going to check my credit. You may be too
mm-hmm.
embarrassed to look at it. Well, let me look at it. I'll
mm-hmm.
look at it for you. I'll look at it with you. See, God is not leaving it up to us to have excuses anymore. I promise you.
Amen.
I told them earlier
Amen.
On the other show, I said, when we finish talking about financial healing, we're done. We're not going to keep
mm-hmm.
talking about this, talk about it, talk about it. You got the archives. We're on a show. We're on the air every Wednesday. I mean, every Thursday. Two different shows?
Yeah.
We're not going to keep talking about the same thing. Not this. Not this. When we're done talking about it, we're done. And so with that, Shatara, what else do you have?
I just want to bring out the fact that he was given the direction, right? Sometimes we have the direction, and it's very clear. It's given to us very clearly, but we rationalize ourselves out of the direction. And so we need to be careful of that too. Oh, I'm in too much debt. You know, there's no way that putting $5 a day, $5 a week away is going to do anything. You know, why would I have a will or a budget? Because, you know, I don't make enough money. What's the point of budgeting? I'm broke. I already know. But if you're given the direction, follow the direction. If God is speaking or God sent somebody to you to give you some sound advice, godly counsel,
mm-hmm.
follow the direction. In the next scripture, he was saying, well, the waters of Damascus are better than this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I go get into Jordan? Because that wasn't the direction.
That's
we
right.
have to make sure that we are listening. Our eyes, spiritual eyes and ears are open, and we are receiving and following that direction that's given. So it is he got the clear direction, but he wasn't embracing that. You know, he stormed off, like you said. So I think that is key. And because sometimes we get it, but because it doesn't sound right to us, to our natural ears or our natural minds, you know, we're thinking with our brains and not that God is the God of the impossible. So that same God that you're expecting a miracle from can very easily send a person who is qualified to give you the guidance to get your financial healing. You got to be ready to receive it. And if
That's
you're
right.
not in a position, if you're not in a stance, if you're not postured to receive what God is telling you or what God has for you, then you might miss it. You very well might miss it because that person or what seems right to you, what sounds right to you, because, you know, maybe Susie did it and it worked for her,
mm-hmm.
follow the direction. Follow the direction that God has given you. And don't focus on Susie. So that $5 every pay period, you know, we're saying put $5 away. If that's what you can afford, put the $5 in the bank. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, it will matter. It will count. Go ahead and do a will, even if you only have the shoes on your feet, you know, right now. If that's all you have right now, do the will. Do a will. If you have furniture in your apartment, do the will, because that's all, everything that we talk about fits together for a total PRS profile. So it's not, you can't piecemeal it. One part may be where you need the specific healing right now,
mm-hmm.
but it all fits together for a bigger picture. So be open
right.
to receive when you're getting it. That's the main point. And follow the direction that you receive.
let me say this. We have a guest on the line with us. I know I didn't put it out there, but we have a guest on the line with us, Shante Phillips, and she's going to come in and just join into the conversation. We were talking a couple of days ago about a couple of things, and it really just seemed appropriate that she be a part of this conversation because, as I told her, the reality is y'all listen to us week after week, except, you know, when we have guests on. So we know that you, the listeners, listening to the PRF table, we know y'all like when guests are on so that you can hear another voice because these conversations that we start off having, they move to dialogue. And what you can do more with the dialogue than you can with the conversation. And so, Shante, we just want to welcome Shante to the table, and she can share anything else. She can just jump in right here because we really just are so much about just having the conversation so people can hear, because there's so much garbage that people are hearing and they need to hear good things. They don't need to hear everything that, I'm not going to say any TV show, but they don't need to hear from all these different TV shows and some of these other mediums that are not blessing people. So, Shante, welcome to the PR table. This is your first time. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, Dr. Nathaniel, Mr. Tyra, can you all hear me okay?
We hear
you
perfectly.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm truly honored to be on the call tonight and be able to get engaged with the people on this topic of this evening. It's funny that you chose this scripture because not too long ago, my pastor was talking about this very same thing, and he was talking about the humility that Naaman had to have to be able to get his breakthrough. You know, he didn't believe that his blessing should have come in the form of go to the river, the dirty, filthy river at that, and dip seven times to be cleansed. You know, he was completely offended because he had a preconceived idea that God is not supposed to heal him in that fashion. You're going to humiliate me? Who am I? You know,
Amen.
So it doesn't matter if the man of God comes to you direct or if he sends, you know, an anointed man of God. Good counsel is good counsel. You know, you never know how your blessing is going to come or what package or what form. So by his obedience, he was able to be healed. Now, had he thought that he was too good to go dip himself in a dirty river, he probably would have never received that healing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Amen.
Yeah, so I just think it's right in line with being obedient, having that humility, and really taking counsel from the man of God. God does want us to succeed in life. You talk about spiritual healing. You talk about financial healing. He wants the best for his people. And it'll be a shame for us to believe that, oh, God doesn't love me. He doesn't really care. You know, I'm struggling with these kids, and I'm, you know, a single mother, and I don't have a man in my life. Or, you know, people like to get in a pity party, and they want to choose to believe that God does not have their best in mind. But he really does. What we need to do is take time. We need to take time and spend listening to God, talking to him, not only thanking him for what he has blessed us with, but we also need to listen to instruction. Lord, what would you have me to do? I heard one of you all talking about being in position, being prepared to receive a blessing. If you're not prepared, he's not going to give you a blessing that you're not going to be able to handle, you know?
Amen.
You know, one of the things I'd say that we've been talking about is the steps that have to be taken in order to receive it. And if we don't take these necessary steps, whatever it is, that's the beauty of it. We don't know what steps God wants for us individually to take, get towards our healing. So talk to us, if you will, from just your experience of maybe things that you've had to do in your life. You know, everybody doesn't grow up with the same background. Everybody doesn't have the same employment status. But regardless of where we are, it happens because we've done something or we haven't done something. So what are some things that you are aware of that people can do to move towards this whole place or space of being financially healed by God?
Well, the first thing I would tell anybody is to the practices that you do right now. What am I doing? How am I spending? You know, what do I have a budget? In this day and age, we just swipe our credit cards and go. We don't know how much we're spending. We go shopping. We are swiping for bills. We're swiping for dining out. And we just spend, spend, spend. You know, the long are the days where we used to balance a checkbook. Those are gone. So we really aren't good stewards over what God has blessed us with. I think that if we get back to having a budget, first of all, and knowing how we spend our money, what are we investing in? You know, I'm not knocking anybody that goes to the hairdresser every week. I'm not knocking anybody that likes to go clubbing every week, you know. But the thing is, be good stewards over the money that God has blessed you with. If you have a job, you've been fortunate enough to have a job, then it's your responsibility to budget and to save for your future or to invest your money. Some people don't believe in investing, but I tell you, if you put it in a bank, the return on your investment is not great. I believe they're giving only about 0.03% in interest, you know, annually. So you're really not benefiting yourself as far as jumpstarting your financial future, preparing for your retirement, like you all talked about, leaving something for your family, an inheritance, you know. So when we leave this earth, we should have at least our own lives covered, the funeral, you know. We don't want to leave that kind of burden on our families. Having a will and budgeting and planning for these things are very, very important. I know in my own experience, I've actually, my husband and I have entered the financial markets. And we were doing so well with stock options and, I mean, to the tune of, and I'm going to say it because the account doesn't look like this anymore, to the tune of $249,000, almost $250,000, you know. Uh-huh. And we were just storing up and storing it up and storing it up with great intentions on helping the world, right, becoming debt-free and doing great things. But God saw, he had a different plan, let's just put it like that. I'm going to tell you, and this is something personal, and I really don't share this with a whole lot of people, but my background is in the military. And when I deployed and left my husband and my children here at home and returned from the deployment, I kind of got off on my taxes. You know, I wasn't, you know, you're moving around, transitioning from different duty station to duty station, and I really got behind on my taxes. And it caught up with me, and the IRS literally drained that $250,000. They drained. They took every dime that we had in the market. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
So you're talking about somebody. You're talking about somebody having to start over. We had to find a way to prepare for our future, to build another legacy for our children, to take care of our parents, to get our affairs in order. We had to start from ground zero, and it hurt when it happened. But we got ourselves refocused. We prayed about the situation, and we concluded that you can't sit on that kind of money and not help anybody. You can't sit on that kind of money and not help yourself. So we changed our entire outlook on how we are going to start over and do this thing the right way. And Dr. Nathaniel, when you said finding others that have the same vision and the interest of, that you do with helping to heal the nation, you talk about possessions and resources and finances. All of that stuff is important, and we have to put together a plan as a community, as a world, you know, a world front to take care of our people. It just seems like everybody's out for themselves, and so I am all about giving back. But I'm all about people having a plan, starting at home, to do better for themselves and then to start reaching out to help others. So one of the things we've done is we're still in the financial markets, and we've teamed up with a company called Wealth Generators, and this company is a financial fitness company. They literally help you with your budgeting. They have money management videos and training and all type of resources at your fingertips where you can literally get your affairs in order. We've been with this company for over a year now, and it's truly been a blessing. And so I try to share with everybody that I can, because most people think that the market is a hoax, or, hey, I'm scared of the market, I'm going to lose everything that I have. If you're smart about it, if you take risk into consideration and you strategize and you team up with the right people, it can work out for you. So we just, like I said, had to start from ground zero, and now we are rocking and rolling again, and this time with vision to help others. So if anyone is interested in the company Wealth Generators and what it can do for you, I know this is kind of unorthodox, but I did get permission to put this plug in. Write the number down, 210-852-1017, and I'll repeat that number again at the end of the call. But just so that you can have an option, people are wondering, where should I get started? What do I need to do? You know, pray about it is the first thing I'd say, and then let God show you direction, where you should go in this thing. If this is for you, great. If it's not, then if there's another plan for your life, then follow that. Do what God is leading you to do. So that's kind of the backdrop on how we the experiences of getting a hard knock life, starting out good and having your whole world shaken up and having to start from scratch. It's tough. It's challenging, but it builds character, and you can praise the Lord for it because he brought you through something, right? He brings you through and shows you, he turns the pages, the chapters in your life, you know, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling to have to go through because, again, it makes you humble, the humility that God puts in you. So that's what we did. That's what we did.
Let me tell you, all of y'all who are listening, whether you're listening now or whether you're listening to this a week from now via the archives, if you don't take the necessary steps, it's not going to come to you. For God to allow Shantae to be on the line with us tonight, to be able to just say what she just said in less than 5 minutes, that is like, and I'm willing to just, let me give you an example. I was on the air earlier today, and the engineer, he said there was like 50,000 Christians, self-proclaimed Christians, right? People who said this out loud through some survey or whatever, 50,000 in the community. He said if we only had like 1% to stand up for something, which is 500 people, he said how powerful could we be? And I think about what Shantae just put out. I think about what Shatara was saying earlier. If we can just get like 10 people, right? If we can just get 10 people to say, you know what? I'm trying to do that. Whatever that is, and you prayed about it, right? Or you've gone to God, or God has shown you this is what you need to do. If you can just get 10 people, then those 10 people can affect 20 people. And those 20 people can affect 40 people. And this is not like a multi-level marketing type of thing. This is called discipleship. Okay. If what we do should help somebody else, if what we're doing is not helping somebody else, and I'm gonna say it out loud, maybe what we're doing is to help just ourselves. And see, I don't even subscribe to this fact, y'all, that I can't do nothing for anybody else until I get myself straight. That doesn't work.
Man.
That's stupid. It doesn't work. It's not biblical. I mean, you can't even save yourself. So, and at the end of the day, if I can't save myself, there's nothing else I can really do. So that lets me know I need some help. If Christ didn't come, we would not have a way to reconcile back with the Father. So we need other folk. And he came in the flesh, not in the spirit. He came in a fleshly body, right? So people need to understand, we need other people. And as we connect with other people, we have the ability to do so much more, right? One of the focal scriptures for the PRF ministry is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. No, the believers came together. They were all in one place. They worshiped together. They people who had property and possessions, they sold their possessions and brought them and gave them to the apostles' feet. So everybody who had need no longer had need. So when we have so many people that are in need, but then a whole bunch of us have stuff, then it's time to revisit. It's really time to revisit. So I'm glad, Shantae, that in one respect that you were, let me just say it, brave enough to say that experience, because that was a big one.
Not too many people know about it, and now the whole nation does.
And let That's me share right. this with you. You have no idea how many people will be affected by what you just said.
Amen.
this is what we do in PR. You know, we wasn't expecting that, but this is what we expect to come out of PRF. We expect people to get to a place where they say, I'm just going to let God just guide me through this. And then when God says, open up your mouth and talk about what happened to you. When God says, open up your mouth, Dunlap, and tell folks you was almost at bankruptcy in 2002. And how did God step in? God stepped in with credit. So I had to be really careful. He allowed me to get credit to get me for where my house didn't, my house payment was not about to be late. Maybe again, you see what I'm saying? And going to a place of, you know, getting ready to get foreclosed on. You know how much more embarrassing that would have been? And so I had to be really cautious, like you, right? You said, hey, something got to change. So I like how you use right. the word, it caused you to refocus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Naaman did when his partners was like, look, you need to get a grip, bruh. You bigger than that. This is not like you. You can't do something easy. All this hard stuff I've right. seen you done, too. Single moms out here. You done raised kids, some of them knuckleheads, and now they graduated from college and they doing good things and got married, and now you dealing with this? Nah, you can't throw in the towel now. You can't Amen. Do it. That's not what God wants for you to do. If so many people, Shante, Shatara, look at all the crap that God done brought us through, I don't care what we're going through right now. There's no way we should be saying, I got to throw in the towel. But if people operate on islands and try to do stuff by themselves, then, yeah, they should have that mentality. So if there's people feeling hopeless and lost, it may be because of who they're not trying to connect with. And two, it may be because the people that's around them are not the right people to build them up, to encourage them to say, no, stop being lazy and go out there and get a job. Stop Amen. Living in your grandma's basement and go out there mm-hmm. and put in some applications for a better job. If you want to, oh my goodness, if you want to do certain things, you got to do certain things.
Amen.
Nothing that I had because somebody gave it to me. I grind in this ministry. I've grinded professionally. Nobody gave me anything, but people around me helped me get to where I need to get to. I'm nothing in this ministry without Shatara. I'm nothing without Adia. I'm nothing without Kathy. I'm nothing without Brother Feaster. I'm nothing without Saeed. And if everybody has that mentality, I challenge folks. Say you're nothing without five people, and you got five mm-hmm. people that's in your community now. And so with the mm-hmm. five of y'all, y'all should be able to do something. Five people connected with me should be able to get with Shante and say, look, we're going to do this WG thing. I don't totally know all about it, but I trust her. So let's get it. Mm-hmm. Let's do what we got to do, and let's connect with that. And then five other people that should be able to Mama, daddy, sister, brother, I'm tired of us going through what we're going through financially or what y'all going through. Mm-hmm. So, look, we're going to have this PRF session. I'm going to get Dr. Dunlap. We're going to come over and we're going to teach and we're going to do PRF and we're going to do it in the home. That's real ministry. Forget all this other fans that's going on. I don't care about being on TV. I don't care about none of that stuff. I just care about us helping people so that they can live life and live life more abundantly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's about.
I really appreciate you all for what you do, the sacrifice that you're making. People need to hear these things, words of encouragement. They need to know that they have a team of people that support them. They need to know that the Lord has their best interest in mind. They need to know that they're mm-hmm. not out there alone, and people are experiencing the same exact things that they are. You've got people that are mm-hmm. jumping off of bridges because they think their life isn't worth anything, but that's not so. That is not so. Your life is worth something, let me just tell you this. If you don't think your life is worth anything, you ask the person that you sleep with every night. You ask the person that calls you mommy or daddy. You ask the person that leans and depends on you to support or help them or when they're in trouble. If you were not on this world, in this life, whose other lives would be affected? Who else would be affected? We are in this together, and we're here to support each other. We've been given a duty to serve one another. So let's link arms and go get it.
Amen.
Well, that sounds. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to reiterate, something that Shantae said is, none of us were born with all of the financial things together. You know, y'all were talking about your different experiences, and while I may not have had that experience, I have my own. So we all have to decide, make a decision, and then take a step. So, you know, this wasn't automatic for us. So it is a process, and our purpose for being here and on the air and talking to everybody every week is, you know, because we want to help anybody who has the desire to change that situation, to receive the financial healing, to help you take the steps to get you to the place that you want to be, the place that God wants you to be, you know, to receive those promises like Naaman. So don't think that we have it all together, because we weren't always in the places that we are now. We have to come out of some things too. So please understand that this is not an impossible feat. This is something that's doable, and we're here to help.
Well, listen, let me get ready to end the show. But before I do that, again, we want to thank Shantae Phillip for being with us, just coming and being transparent. You know, if we're willing to be transparent, then God can do something with that. He's not going to do anything with pride and shame and guilt, but just continue to put any of us that are dealing with that into a situation where you're going to have to confront it. The only way you deal with pride is to deal with it. The only way you deal with guilt is to deal with it. The only way you deal with shame is to deal with it. And it's not about condemnation, it's about just dealing with it. And so I promise you, you know, this PRF space is safe. So there's nothing to worry about, because I promise you, I've seen some of the worst when it comes to people's finances. And I've had my finances in a very bad way. And God has just turned that around. He's turned a heart for seeing what God's people are going through and saying, look, we got to do something better than this. Something has to change. And this was not my life's journey. This was not the path that I went on. This was definitely not my profession. But what God did was take this pain, take what I saw, and then put me into a position where, okay, here's what's going on. You've been seeing what you've been seeing. So now I'm going to use you, Brother Dunlap, to do something about it. And 8 years later, this is where we are. I won't say it doesn't get any better than this, because it can get better than this, but this is a good place to be, because it's about changing lives. So, Shantae, give us anything that you have as we shut it down for tonight. This has been an absolute pleasure tonight to hear what God has done in your lives and in next lives. So,
okay, again, once again, I really appreciate you for having me on. We'll be plugging into your sessions every single week, and I hope that everybody out there in internet radio land will do the same, because it's inspiring, it's encouraging. You can learn something from everything that's going on, and you can build communities in your own area that have the same concept and the same vision, and let's make this world a better place. As far as the wealth generators, this organization has been so phenomenal. I believe that it's going to be a game changer. It'll be a household name. My phone number, again, is 210-852-1017. Dr. Dunlap, we will definitely be in touch, so that anyone interested, if they want to contact you through the Facebook page or whatever forum that you have set for communications, we can go ahead and get this thing started and start changing a lot of lives. So, again, thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate you guys for what it is that you're doing.
Thank you. again, it was our pleasure. This whole thing is about community, is about doing what God has called us to do. And so we just ask everybody, just continue to be with us, to continue to take us along the journey that God has for you, because we're willing to go along with you. We're not just people talking and telling you what to do and you need to do this, that, and the other. We're saying, look, if you need some help, you know, if you need to be that horse that gets drugged to the pool, because you know it takes that, then don't get mad when you got some burn marks around your neck, because I'm telling you, I'm going to pull you there. If you say, look, take me there, I'm going to take you there. Because some people need that. If you need a little nudge, no problem, I'm going to give you a little nudge. And if you're going to keep going, I'm going to give you another nudge. And then pretty soon you'll be there, just like Naaman. The greatest thing about what happened with Naaman was when Naaman got over himself. That's the greatest thing. And so I don't even know where we're going to be next week on the show. But when Naaman got over himself and he did exactly what the prophet said, the Bible declares real clear. He went to the Jordan River. He dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed. And then it says, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. So the promises of God, when God says, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do that, I'll do that. And if you go and you do it, now you have a reason to call God on the carpet and say, God, you said if I was faithful in a few things, then you'll make me rule over many. Lord, I've been faithful to this. But if you can't go to God talking about, Lord, I've been faithful, then nah, Joker, you ain't even paying your rent on time. You know you ain't paying your rent on time or whatever. Come on, you can't go to God like that. He's looking at you like, really? You really coming to me like that? Do I really need to say what you ain't been doing? Or you want to just go ahead and say, oh, God, I'll be back. Let me go get that straight. And if you got to go back and get that straight so you can come back and be like, all right, God, I'm for real this time. I've been faithful a few things, God. You know I've been faithful now. And then you watch God give you the many. But it takes taking these steps one step at a time. And, again, I'm so glad that what Naaman did was he just followed the guidance from the man of God, followed what the Spirit of God was saying. And as he did that, he got his internal healing as well as his external healing. And here's one good thing about the external healing. People see the external healing. If they see the external healing and you are able to communicate the internal healing, oh, my goodness, that's beauty. Because the reality is, that disease of leprosy, it started from the inside out. So the question is, what was going on the inside that caused that to manifest on the outside? That's the thing that we're getting to. That's the root cause indicators that we're trying to focus on the PRF table. So, again, we're about to shut it down for tonight. This is Dr. Dunlap. On behalf of myself, Shante Phillips, our guest, all the hosts, Brother Feaster in his absence, Dia Sanders in her absence, Mary Ann Williams in her absence. She's not feeling well. We ask God to heal her from what she's going through right now. She has a little virus, but she was able to go home and be at her granddaughter's graduation from college last Saturday. So she was there, but she got a little sick, but she was able to see that important monumental event. Shatara Sherwood, again, myself, we are thankful to everybody who just rides with us. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/PRF, that's Papa Romeo Frank, Papa Romeo Frank. Or just go look up PRF Teaching Ministry. Our website, if you go to our website, you will catch everything on the website. The website is PRF, Papa Romeo Frank Ministry, MINSTRY.org. And you also have the option to reach out to us. You can send us an email at admin@PRFministry.org, or you can send one to me, Dunlap@PRFministry.org, or call us at 267-437-7999. Check out our website. Everything is on the website. You'll be able to connect with us in every single way. And we just hope that God is ready to do what he's ready to do for you as you get moved towards it. So with that, God bless you. We love you, everybody. Have a wonderful evening.